Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Fuck you, Daddy.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast, and coming to you from deep inside the PTB Man Cave Studios, I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and joining me, as always, my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
JR, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome, everyone. PTB Nation 152.
Yep.
And I'm Jack tonight, because I haven't said this in quite a while. Tonight, the cornucopia of fun and games.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped, actually. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of ranting and raving, a little surprises mixed in, a lot of going on, so...
Yeah. A lot going on. We got the full menu, full Monty. We're not even going to do the menu. We want to surprise you. We want to throw you off. Mm-hmm. We want to just go bonkers tonight. So we're just going to dive right in. We are not going to recap Raw.
No.
We're not doing that. We don't want to lose everybody 5 minutes in. So.
Fuck our Raw.
No, but for the first time since PTB 100, Raw 1000, we're going to talk about, you know, this three-hour experiment. Because to me, it's an experiment. I honestly don't see this lasting. There's rumors, we've talked about it, that Raw will go 3 hours through the end of the year, and then I think Vince is going to put his foot down and say, this is just not working.
I can see it going through Mania. I can honestly see it going through Mania, and then maybe the night after they go back to two.
Well, that is, in my opinion, that is if the network launches. I'm not going to tip my hand like I've done before, but I'm not hearing very positive things right now.
Oh, no, it definitely sounds like it's not going to, I don't think it's going to make it, it's not going to be Q4 like they had said. That's for sure.
No, I don't think so. There's rumors that they're going to do this year like they were supposed to do last year and do it. Hey, man, I'm just speaking the truth. I got some issues with him again anyway, but you and I have a lot of issues with a lot of people tonight.
A lot of anger tonight.
Got a couple of it. We got two.
This is
going to
be a Brett Carlson special. Brett Carlson special. A lot of anger.
Yes. Two angry birds tonight, not just one.
Yes.
All right.
It's a flock of angry birds.
Flock of angry birds. All right. Straight out, I'm going to ask you flat out. Straight up, brother. Are you in the limo with Sting and Luger? What have you thought so far, week to week, of the three-hour Raws?
Well, Raw 1000 was obviously very entertaining.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And
I'm saying after that.
It's tough because we've been doing our shows and kind of half-watching. You know what I mean? I haven't been sitting and, like, studying the show, so I can't. I'm probably not the best person to say. I mean, I thought the shows themselves have been okay. Like, they've done more in-ring action, a lot of focus on different guys. Everyone's gotten on the show. The problem is it just drags. It's a long chunk of your night. It's like, the show feels like it's been going forever, and then you look up and it's 9:20, and you're like, holy shit, we have another hour and a half to go. And at least this week, they didn't really do much of an overrun. They only went 20 minutes over. So, I mean, I'm 20, 2 minutes over.
If they went 20 minutes over, that'd be bad.
I mean, they should have no overrun, honestly, with the three-hour show. It's just unnecessary. I really thought they were going to do more of it where it would be like the first hour was like a studio pregame or something without actual matches. So the way they ended up doing it is this, I think it's just too much. I mean, I just don't think we need this much wrestling on WWE wrestling on TV. It's like 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown. Now you get this other show kicking off on Saturday mornings. And then pay-per-view week, forget it. I mean, this week we got 6 hours on back-to-back days. It's just a lot. So, you know, I get why they're doing it. It's a lot of money, and there's no extra cost for them to do it because they're already there and everything's already set up. So they're not, it doesn't really cost anything more to them, and it's just extra money from USA. So I get why they can't say no. I mean, I understand it. It's just a lot. It really is a lot.
And I feel like I was getting excited when I was when we were reading some news bits with our through our good friends at WrestleChat.net that it seemed like they were gonna, the show was going to feel more special. They were going to have a special 8 o'clock thing and the formatic. To me, it's just 2 hours stretched into 3 hours. I don't feel anything special.
Right.
The whole tweeting – and no, I'm not going on a social media rant, so we don't have to fight. The tweeting opponents for guys, it's just not.
Well, see, I'm okay with that because you're making, yeah, but you're making interactive, and that was part of what they wanted to do. And the social media thing is just not going away. I mean, especially now they've invested the money in Tout, and it's funny because a lot of the people shit on Tout are now kind of embracing it and using it themselves. But, yeah, you know, as long as they keep the Tout stuff to a minimum with the fans who are kind of embarrassing, I'm okay with it. If they used it for storylines and like they did with the Sheamus thing, like I think that's good.
Right.
I think that's here to stay. I think they've done an okay job as far as building up a match and delivering it on it early. Like, we had Punk Big Show this week, and then didn't we have one 2 weeks ago as well? We had something they announced ahead of time and it opened the show or something.
Well, I didn't know. Didn't we have the 1 week we had Sheamus and Daniel Bryan in that street fight? That wasn't bad. That was pretty good.
No, yeah. I mean, their in-ring action has actually been pretty good on these shows, I thought. They've got a lot of time and some unique matches, so I'm okay with that. And this week, we got the tag match in the middle with Jericho and Dolph involved. So, I mean, we've gotten some pretty good in-ring action. You know, it's just... It just is a long show. I mean, that's all you can say. It's a lot.
It's eating up the entire primetime night. I mean,
yeah,
by 11 o'clock.
That's your evening, basically. If you're going to dedicate to watching Raw live, that's your evening.
Yeah, I mean, you're not...
That's as long as the football game. It's going to be as long as Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and there's going to be nights this year where we may end up having some really damn good games. And
you're going to... I mean, the rating... I mean, if the rating now, we may as well say it was 2.9 this week, and it's going, you know, it's been steady down decline since Raw 1000... You're going to start getting Monday Football in the mix. They're really going to be in trouble. I know they had the Olympics up against them the last few weeks, which you can't poo-poo. I mean, that's a pretty serious competition. So, right. But the, you know, once football starts, yeah, you get some good matchups. You're in trouble. You know, like that 2-9 can quickly dip down to you know, low twos.
Yeah. Well, here's the breakdown. The ratings are – this is courtesy of WrestleChat.net. The ratings are in for Monday's Raw. Not good news. It drew a 2.84 for the 3 hours and a 2.93 for the final 2 hours. So the 2.84 is the lowest rating Raw has done since expanding to 3 hours. The show averaged 4.13 million viewers, and also, which is also a new low for the three-hour era. The first hour dipped below 4 for the first time since Raw 1000. Hour 2 had 4.25, and Hour 3 did 4.34. So the spike went up when we were getting to the third hour involving Brock and Hunter and Sean.
Right, well, that
makes
sense.
That's what everybody wanted to see.
But still not a good for their old time slot. I mean, 2.93 is still not a great, even if you discount the first hour and say, well, people still aren't used to turning in or, you know, whatever, they're not going to bother, they're just going to watch the regular time. Still not a great rating there.
No, it's not. And I don't know how it's going to get any better. It's just a long night. It's not the product. Like, even Nitro. Nitro went to 3 hours in what?
It was mid-98. It was like summer 98 to summer 99, I believe. I think it was a year exactly.
And even at that time...
Actually, you know what? It might have been 2 years. Was it 2 years? I forget if it was 99. No, you know it was 2000 because it was Russo who finally got it changed. So I think it was 98 to 2000.
And even... All right. By mid-99, the show sucked. But late 98, up until even after the finger poke a little bit, Nitro wasn't that bad. The product wasn't terrible.
Yeah, well, they had such a big roster. They had such a big roster, though, with so many guys that they could fill that time. I mean, they had four cruiserweight matches. So, you know, it was
The problem was by mid-99, Big Show was gone. Jericho was gone. Eddie and Benoit and those guys could give two shits. So by the end of 99, your mid-card and your cruisers, which were carrying you so you could deal with a Hogan Nash 27-minute interview at 8:45, was gone. And now your 8 o'clock hour was Vampiro, bad bands, and, you know, just garbage. I mean, really the only thing in 2000 that probably saved them from totally sinking before they were sold was like the whole, you know, the tag feuds, the Young Dragons, Three Count, all those guys. They were the ones doing it. But by then, the upper card was garbage.
Well, yeah, they also had a lot of tag teams, too. So not only did you have a bunch of cruiserweight matches, they had four or five tag matches, too, you know, and that could fill time. So,
they were experienced tag teams, Harlem Heat and the Steiners and the Road Warriors. I mean,
they just had such a loaded roster. It was easy for them to eat up 3 hours. It's tougher now because you're getting a lot of the same matches, a lot of rematches. You know, you don't have the variety and the depth on the roster. So it's just things are very, very thin right now. So unless they bring up a gaggle of young guys or something, it's going to be tough.
Well, we got some in our headlines. Hopefully you didn't read any of them. I want you to be surprised. It's been a while since you've been able to do it. So yeah, no, there's some stuff about developmental that I think you'll like. So, you know, there's a lot of guys right now, and that's why we're having, you know, Antonio Cesaro is in the big match, the pre-show match Sunday against Santino. I hope he wins, to be honest with you. I would really like to see, maybe him win. Why not, you know?
Well, it'll be interesting, and I've read a couple things on that. Nitro expanded on January 26th, 98.
Wow. That's interesting. I didn't think it was that early. But 98, they were still doing pretty good. They were still doing pretty good in 98.
Yeah, really, I didn't realize it was that early.
It wasn't until fall of fall of 99 that I think the product really started to lag. The finger poke was just a sign of things to come. It didn't just, you know, the night the finger poke, and of course the night Mick won the title and all that. That wasn't like, oh my God, they're great and we suck. It wasn't like that. It seemed like it, but it wasn't. Even though the rating really, it started to get disparaging by the summer. I mean, there were Raws in June that were like 6.3 and 6.4, and Nitro was like 3. But honestly, the show was not that bad till, in my opinion, late 99.
Right.
And that's because, again, the mid-card left. Benoit was gone. Jericho was gone. Malenko was gone. Saturn was gone. And you were getting some, you know, and the upper, obviously the main events were just a disaster. So I don't think that's going to happen here. I mean, I don't think you're going to see the main event collapse. I mean, it's all young studs, Cena, Punk, and, you know, Sheamus, Del Rio. That's not the problems are different.
But how many times can we watch the same matches? That's the issue.
Well, yeah, of course, because you can't rotate the same, you know, five guys over. The problem is, you know, you have one match and one feud and 3 hours worth of trying to put it over. So you're seeing Big Show, Cena, Punk in five different combinations. And after a while, you're up to the fifth combination. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
You know? What do you think of what they're doing with Punk right now? People are still cheering him, so they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really even a heel. Yeah, he's not even a heel. He's basically a tweener.
Yeah. The pissing and moaning annoys me. After a while, you want him to arc back a little bit, because then now you almost feel like they're making him turn heel by being a crybaby, and that's just not working. It doesn't suit him. He's not putting it over, and he shouldn't, because that's not how he should be acting. It's funny. I almost feel like – I was thinking about this while I was watching it. I feel like Punk right now is a smaller version of Sid, obviously with better work rate. That's not my comparison, clearly. My comparison is the guy's just acting like the way he wants. Whether he's a face or a heel is up to you, or it's up to us. That's how I feel. Same thing with Sid. Look at 95. Vince wanted so hard to make him a crybaby – the fucking thing, you know, every one of his feuds went in the toilet. Came back in 96 as the Sid we all know, and everything changed. Same thing with Punk. They start making Punk too crybabyish, where I don't want to fight this guy, you know, I don't want to do this. And he walks away from fights and stuff. No, that's not gonna work. I'm just hoping they don't teeter it too far to where he becomes a wussy boy, you know, like an 80s cartoon heel. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. That's just my take on it. I don't know what you think about how he's been the last few weeks.
I mean, I think he's best just in this role, doing his own thing, not being shoehorned into a face or a heel role, and just letting him be Punk. And that's kind of where they're at. So, I mean, I think it's fine. It'll be interesting really to see as we head closer to WrestleMania what they're thinking. You know, I've been hearing rumors both ways. We talked about this the other night. I've heard that they may keep the belt on him, or actually, I'm sorry, have him drop the belt, and we'll talk about this when we talk about SummerSlam, but have him drop the belt to Cena at SummerSlam. Cena's the one that loses it to Rock at the Rumble, and then Punk versus Rock at Mania. And I've also heard the other way around, where Punk retains, loses to the Rock at the Rumble, and we get Cena Rock, which I think is the more likely scenario. I'd be surprised if they switch things up to Punk Rock at Mania. I think we get that at the Rumble. But
yeah, we'll get more into that when we do our picks, but I'm kind of leaning more towards that scenario also. The mid-card has been fine. Mm-hmm. Do you think they've taken too much time on the Triple H Brock feud?
No, I don't think it's been too much time. I just think it's been booked stupidly. I don't think it has anything to do with time. I think they could have drawn this out and done things. I think it could have lasted this long and been better if they had booked it better. I mean, I just think, you know, I'm not just saying this is shit on Triple H. I think Brock's been made out to look like an idiot a lot of the time. I thought the segment Monday didn't make much sense. I thought Brock should have just murdered him right out of the gate. Instead, they tried to, you know, drag it out. So they, I think they were just trying to swerve people who saw what was coming and thought it was going to be obvious, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I guess it's, yeah,
I think
I won't say it's too long. I just don't like the way it's gone. I just,
well, I've, my, when we get into the picks, I think I, my analysis of that will shock you. I think it'll shock everybody, but,
like, I don't think we needed the Stephanie stuff at Raw. I don't think we needed that being involved.
No, I don't think either. I think Stephanie did that so she could get her rocks off on Paul.
I think that's all that was.
And yeah. I didn't agree. I didn't think that made
it was
much
stupid.
Sense either.
You know, Heyman's been great, and I just wanted them to make it a blood feud. I don't think we needed contracts and the rights for the company and who's this and the board of directors. Like, just make it a feud. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Helmsley comes out, Triple H comes out and says, hey, you know what? I own this company. I run this company. You're a threat. You're beating the shit out of my guys. You destroyed my top draw at Backlash, or Extreme Rules, rather. And now it's time, you know, now you're going to, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to take you out. You're not going to be a threat anymore. Brock comes out, beats the shit out of some more guys, and keeps ducking Triple H, just fucking with him. He finally accepts, comes out, murders Shawn Michaels, and then we get the match at SummerSlam. Like that, just simple. You know, they go too complicated. All these contracts and all this special language and Heyman coming out every week and, you know, dodging and ducking and everything. It could have just been a much more simple pro wrestling build than what we got.
Right. Do you think the contract with Brock is biting them in the ass, this whole per appearance thing?
No, I don't think so. I think they could have still found... They knew ahead of time, so they could have easily planned this out better than they have, and they still could have used everyone better than they have. And you know, now there's rumors they're trying to get they're planning on offering Brock an extension past Mania next year to get him
yes.
to stick around. So,
yeah,
I mean, if
you go by the numbers, what's he down to now? Like 21 or 20 or 19 or something like that?
I have
like
no idea.
Now?
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure, but he.
I don't.
I mean, it's you know, I get what their thought is that they want him to come in and just put guys over. Like that's the thought of it. You know, because they don't trust him, honestly, to stick around, which is fine. But he has to win it Sunday, and I'm not sure he's gonna. I'm really not sure. You know, I thought for a while it was a lock, but seeing how things have gone and the way things are trending, I would not be surprised. And if Triple H was gonna lose, and we can say this for a bit, but I think it'll be screwy. I don't think he's gonna lose clean.
All right, I disagree. But we'll get to the picks later. I'll give you my analogy. I think you. I don't know if you. I hope you like it. You probably won't agree with it, but I think it's a good analogy. Anyway, so I think overall, Raw is as good as it's going to be. The 3 hours is not.
Hello.
This is Frank Costanza.
Maybe he should be the social the thing just went out of my
social media
director or whatever for SummerSlam. Frank Costanza.
Well, did you see the one for Monday? It's this Monday,
your boy. It was your boy.
No, I know DJ Pauly D did this past Monday. Did you see the one next Monday?
Your boy was this past Monday. I don't know about this. I don't know about Monday. I know who SummerSlam's social media ambassador is.
Who's that?
It's going to be in our news.
Okay,
wait to find out.
Well, that's not like Kardashian. Is she doing Monday or Sunday?
She's doing Sunday.
Oh, I thought she was doing Monday night.
No, Chloe's doing Sunday. That's one of our news bits. Chloe, which is Lamar's wife, she's doing, or soon ex-wife, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Anyway, Chloe is Sunday's ambassador.
Okay, I thought she was Monday night.
No, it's Sunday. I'm not, and again, I'm not slamming, and this is not a knock on Twitter. Everybody thinks I hate, I don't, I just don't, I don't know how to use it, and I'm honest about it. I don't hate it. I'm just thinking it's not enough to jazz it up. I understand that. maybe Art knows how to do it better than I do. I don't know. But I just think that, I don't know, I was expecting something more creative out of the 8 o'clock hour. I think booking 9 to 11, what they should have done was just kept Raw itself 9 to 11 and done something different from 8 to 9.
Yeah,
they should
have
used that hour and done something different.
Yeah, I agree.
And booked Raw. That way they would have been able to, they weren't creative enough. I'm so goddamn tired of this network, of this company, not thinking outside the box. They continually do things scared. What are you scared of? The ratings suck. You have nothing to lose now. So go outside the box. Make that 8 o'clock hour something different. Do an hour of recap from those Full Sails FCW, and we have a story on that coming up too. Do something about that. Think outside the box, for God's sakes. And that way you save
yourself.
There's
no need for them to. I mean, the ratings suck, but you know what? They're getting paid the same no matter what. They're still getting the same amount of money. They're still a profitable company. Are the profits down? Yes. Is Vince McMahon and his family worth less than they were, you know, 10 years ago? Yes. Yeah. But, you know, the money's still coming in, and it's just they're in a position where they can play things safe, and that's just what they're going to do. Well, there's no need not to, unless TNA somehow gets their shit together and really steps up. I mean, they've seemingly weathered the UFC storm, because UFC's having their own issues due to oversaturation, and their ratings are, you know, not the best right now, and buys are down. So they kind of weathered that storm, or it looked like for a while there that they were going to get destroyed. But unless TNA really gets their shit together and makes a run here, there's no reason for them to go outside their safety zone.
Well, then we're just going to be bored to death for 3 hours, and I'm kind of glad we went back to doing taping on Monday nights, because it makes the show a lot easier. All right, why don't we get a quick? Did you want to go over SmackDown or?
No. I mean, it was pretty by the numbers. The main thing that came out is they ended up rebooking the Del Rio Sheamus match, so that's back on now. It was off for a week, but now it's back on. Apparently, Mysterio and Sin Cara teamed up, and we're getting rave reviews for being a team. So, I'd like to see them maybe keep that for a while.
Against Miz and Cody, which probably is a good team in their own right. So,
I mean, they should keep Ray and Sin Cara together as a team until the build to Mania, have them split, and then do the match they wanted to do. That's what I would hope for.
Yeah, I think. And Ray, and maybe, and Vince could still do his dream of everybody wearing a mask.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Rotello, we're going to make sure Rotello wears a mask so he doesn't scare anyone around us.
All right, so why don't we get some... I want to do our picks, and then we'll do the... Are we ready for that now? There we go. All right. Here are our picks.
We're going to do ours, and then we're going to read yours, because we had a thread up for feedback for everyone's predictions and picks, so we get a bunch there. So let's do ours, and then we'll read the nation's.
Okay. Let me just get the page up on our board. Bigelow34.proboards.com. You don't have to follow along. You can open it if you'd like, but something to follow. All right. At the moment, we have 1, 2... If you count the pre-match, we've got, what, 9 matches? Wait, 1, 2...
No, 7.
8 matches.
What's the 8th one?
The pre-show.
I see 7 with the pre-show. I'm on the website. I'm on Dodie's website.
Oh, I'm on our board. I have one... Well, I have 4 championship matches and 3...
Does he have the U.S. title? We have U.S. I see.
World, WWE, Tag.
1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 6. I don't know. I'm only seeing 7 on the website.
All right. Well, we'll start, and let me know.
All right. Go ahead. You read them down, and we'll go from there.
All right. On the pre-show.
Oh, I see why. They're missing one. That's stupid. Yeah. They have previews, but then there's one match not on that list. It's odd. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. The pre-show match, as I mentioned, Santino Marella will defend the United States Championship against Antonio Cesaro. I mean, it's nice to have the extra match on YouTube. They've been, you know, pimping it. 1 week they did. 1 month they didn't do it. Something happened, and I didn't have one. But I'm sorry. That might have been the thing on Raw. Never mind. They have been doing the match every week, every pay per view. I think Cesaro wins. Why not? I'll call the upset.
I thought all along he was going to win, but now I'm reading that they had already taped some matches for that Saturday Morning Slam, whatever the fuck that show is going to be. And Santino still had his U.S. title with him, so I'm going to pick Santino. I don't think they switched the title on the YouTube show. I think they wait, and I think they'll do it on SmackDown in a couple weeks. So I'd say Santino somehow sneaks out a win, either by DQ or some other nonsense, a roll-up or something lame. So,
okay. All right, let's do the actual shows, the actual show matches. We have Chris Jericho taking on Dolph Ziggler. To me, this is the sleeper match of the night. I think it's going to be very, very well done. And based on some news that we're going to talk about in a minute, I like Dolph Ziggler here.
This is definitely Dolph. Written all over it. There's no reason for Jericho to win this match. Dolph needs the win. He needs the rub. So I think Jericho puts him over. Jericho's, you know, not selfish in the least, so I don't see any reason why Dolph wouldn't get the win here. I like Ziggler.
So I like Ziggler, too. But I do think it's going to be the sleeper match of the night. I think it's going to be tremendous. All right. Daniel Bryan takes on Kane. I like Daniel Bryan in this match, actually. I think it's time for him to kind of get rebuilt a little bit. He's been the butt of jokes for weeks now and everything. I think it's time to rebuild him. And another guy, Kane, like Jericho, who cares if he wins or loses? Doesn't matter. I think it'll be a good big man, little man match. I think this is a good test of Daniel Bryan's skills in a match against somebody that's, you know, a little misbalanced from him in terms of ability. He's been dealing with Punk, who they're pretty much almost equal in that aspect. So I think it's a good test for Daniel Bryan to put on a really good match against a guy who is a veteran, but, you know, not exactly the most limber. And I think Daniel Bryan wins. I think it's time for to repackage his character.
I think that all sounds great. I think that all sounds hunky-dory. I think it would be tremendous if it happens. I don't think it happens. I think I haven't seen anything else about Charlie Sheen, so I don't know if they're just going to have him pop up and do something to cost Bryan, but I think Kane wins this. This is one of those matches that just everyone thinks Bryan should win. He looks like he should win, and Kane wins with a fucking chokeslam. So I can just
all right, well, I'm taking we do have Kane a here. We do have a Charlie Sheen tidbit.
All right, so maybe I'll change my tune when I read that. We'll see.
So we'll see. All right. For the tag team championship.
Ah, what in the hell's we got a tag, you know, outside of Night of Champions, we had a tag title match on pay-per-view.
I know, yes. R-King, of course, R-Truth, and Kofi Kingston, taking on the primetime players of Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, without, of course, AW, without the root beer. We'll have a story on him later, too. I thought that they were going to win, but without...
yeah, I think they.
I think they're just going to be forgotten.
I don't think they'll be forgotten. This could go one of two ways. Either they win to spite AW and kind of say, oh, hey, you fucked this up. Look, now they're champions. Or they're going to eat a little bit of the punishment by association. And, you know, again, everything points to the primetime players, but I think this is one of those stupid finishes where they get countered out or something dumb and Kofi and R-Truth retain.
Okay. I think they're going to retain too. Either way, but I think they'll stay hot though. I think like they'll win, and then I think Titus or you know they'll beat the hell out of him. I'm still not a big Darren Young fan. I don't know why. I haven't liked him since when he was on NXT.
I like the team. I really think they could be good. I just don't know. I could see them not pulling the trigger here.
Okay. I don't think they are either. For the Intercontinental Championship, I'm kind of looking forward to this match. Yeah. The Miz will defend the white strap against Rey Mysterio. I like this match. I don't know why. I have a feeling this is where Miz finally gets out of his slump. I think he's going to have a great match. I think he's going to retain, though. I don't think Ray's going to win. But I think I do think that the Miz will really put on a good performance and retain his title. But I think it'll be a good match. I think it'll be another sleeper match tonight in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. I think Miz wins. I don't see Ray winning the title. I think they're going to keep doing something with him and Sin Cara. So I'm going to go with Miz to retain. Plus, it is game the title. I think they want to keep it on him for a little bit and rebuild him.
For the World Heavyweight Championship, Sheamus, who we didn't, you and I, neither of us really thought he was going to hold the belt this long. I kind of did. You were skeptical at times. He now takes on Alberto Del Rio. I don't know. I mean, what do you do? I feel really bad for this guy.
They've both been fucked over. They're both examples of guys that were very hot and very strong, and they just let them get very tepid and very blah. So I think after all the start and stopping, I don't see Del Rio winning here. I think Sheamus keeps it because I think they're going to keep Sheamus primed to eventually fight and lose to Dolph Ziggler with the briefcase. So
I think so, too. So I think Sheamus wins as well. But I think, again, another it'll be a solid match.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be crazy, fine. Honestly, I think every match on this card has potential to be – you know, maybe outside Brian Kane, but Brian works with anyone. So I think every match in this car, I think it's going to be a pretty good show. I mean, in ring wise, anyway, I think all the matches are going to be good. Now, booking may be shaky, but I'm looking forward to watching it.
For the WWE Championship triple threat match, CM Punk defends against John Cena and The Big Show. I think it's funny that I forgot who put it on our chat page, on our Facebook chat page. 2 years ago, at SummerSlam, CM Punk fought The Big Show. Last year, CM Punk fought John Cena. This year, he's fighting both of them.
Yep.
Great booking, guys. I'm going to go. We were talking about JR, option A, option B. I'm going with option A. I think Punk retains. He will hold it till the Rumble, and then lose to The Rock. I think the show's in Phoenix. At first, I thought it was in Miami. I think Punk wins. I think Cena Big Show is I hate to say that feud's going to continue. I don't know why, but I like Punk to retain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can see the thought the other way because Punk's kind of heating up, and maybe they want to build to that to do something different. But I can't see them passing on Cena Rock and getting Cena his win back. I think he needs this. He needs a WrestleMania win, honestly. He's lost the last 2 years, so he needs a win, and he needs to probably get the title back at this point if they're going to keep. I'm not saying I'm dying to see it. I'm just saying from a business perspective, if they want him to be the man, he needs this win, and he needs to get the title back. So I think Punk retains here and then goes on along with that plan where he loses to Rock and Cena gets his WrestleMania match with the Rock.
Yes. And finally, the brawl to end all brawls, or although this is not this is a straight up match, no street fight rules or anything, unless they pull some shenanigan or do a tweet vote or something if they decide to add a stipulation or something. I'm not being facetious, I'm saying it may actually happen. Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. I'm gonna defer to you first.
All right. I think Brock Lesnar should win. The way the booking has gone and the way Monday Night ended, I could see Triple H winning. By all the rumors saying that they only brought Brock in to job to a bunch of guys because they don't want to put any wins on him or have him beat their guys because he may not stick around and he's not going to be one of the guys for the future. So I get it. If they want to do Brock Undertaker at WrestleMania, Brock needs to beat somebody and look strong, because what the fuck is the point? He's just going to look like a big pussy chump if he heads into Mania with no major wins. Triple H, we don't know who his opponent's going to be for Mania yet. Of course, there's a lot of rumors that it was going to be Shawn Michaels.
Could be nobody.
No, he's wrestling WrestleMania. Do you see Shawn Michaels costing him this match?
No. No. I see no interference. But make your pick, and then I'll let you know my...
I'm taking Brock Lesnar, and I think Shawn Michaels interferes and costs Triple H the match and turns heel. And they built a WrestleMania for their final match together.
Okay. I am comparing this match Sunday. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be impressed with this, and our man Dr. G will, because it's one of our favorite movies of all time. I'm comparing this match to Ivan Drago against Apollo Creed. I think everyone's going to go to Triple H throughout the night and go, are you sure you want to do this? Why are you doing this? What's the point? You know, Sean could take care of, you know, I know I could win. And he's going to go out there and he's going to get the fucking crap kicked out of him.
I think that's a beautiful idea. I think that is the way they should go. It's not happening. Don't get your hopes up. It's not happening. It is not happening.
I think that he knows. He understands.
Nope.
As we're slowly turning the corner now, he's got to start acting like a businessman, because as we see in the news, I think it's time for Vince to get a rocket chair and a shotgun and a bottle of moonshine and go back to North Carolina.
Scott, if that happens on Monday night's vault, I will sing the entire Triple H theme in whatever fancy voice you want me to sing it in.
Really? And we'll put it in the open?
Yes. I'll put it wherever you want. I will.
I want you to sing the Triple H voice in Jake's daughter's...
All right. I will sing the entire Triple H song in Jake's daughter's voice, and we'll record it and mix it with the music or something. Okay. So there you go. That is how sure I am. Although it'd be funny, I'd do it anyway. But that is how sure I am that he is not going to get the shit kicked out of him and is laid down. It's just not going to happen.
I'm not saying
it should happen, but it's not going to happen.
He's not going to get any moves in. I'm not saying he's going to lose.
Well, if you're going to do Apollo versus Drago, that's what would happen.
I think he'll get some moves in early, and then I think eventually within like 12 or 14 minutes.
No, that it's not Drago Apollo. If you're saying it's Drago Apollo, he literally comes to the ring, does all his machinations, and then Brock just beats the piss out of him and kills him. I mean, that's it. There's no offense. There's no 14-minute match. It is like a 3 or 4-minute match of Brock just beating the piss out of him. He bloodies him up and just leaves him for dead. That's what you're basically saying, though. So if you're contradicting yourself, then that's not what's going to happen.
Well, no, that's not going to happen. Okay. I was more looking at it from the he's. I think it's going to be booked. I guess I was looking more at the Apollo Drago from the pre part of it, where everyone's
from the fan fiction you wrote.
Yeah, why are you? Yes, from my novel. Why are you doing this? They're going to question him all night. Are you sure you want to do this? Why are you doing this?
I mean, that part's fine. Yeah, the storyline behind it, but the match is not going to go that way.
I think the match will be like him and Taker at WrestleMania, just much shorter. In that, eventually Brock's just going to beat him down, and pin him. But I think he'll get moves in. He won't get a pedigree. And he won't let Brock kick out of the pedigree. I'm sorry. You got to protect that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to protect that. God forbid. I mean, it's only the strongest move ever because it's been protected for the last 15 years. God forbid you have this monster kick out once. I mean, you got to protect it. That's for sure. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say, and that's including the tout camera.
You have to protect the pedigree.
Yeah, Jesus. We have to. It's been damaged so much. We need to protect it for sure.
I don't really care if he does it or not. But I think that. The end, the last like 5 minutes of the match, regardless of how long it is just going to see Brock just beat him down. Hit the F5, maybe hit two F5s.
Triple H is winning. unless Sean comes in and costs the match. I just don't see Brock beating him clean. I don't think they're going to do it.
I disagree. I'm putting faith in my guy and his booking and realizing he needs to look ahead to the future, and I don't give a shit what Vince says. I'm done with him.
All right.
We'll get to that in the news.
I just don't know. Brock, I just don't see it.
We're not going for style points for our picks. We both think Brock's going to win. So we'll just leave it at that. You think it's going to be a screwy job. I think that he's just going to be put over. Cena's different because Cena is at the top of the company right now. Triple H isn't. And he knows that, and I know that, and I hope other fans...
No, that makes it even... I don't know.
I think he just needs to bury him and get it done, and then
and it's just not going to happen. Not the way the build has gone. It's just Triple H. The way the build has gone, this lines up for Triple H to beat him.
Because I just can't understand why Brock would come back just to lay down everybody.
He doesn't care. He's just there to get paid. They basically said it. They said they brought him in. He wants the payday. He doesn't give a fuck. He said he's not about winning or losing. He doesn't care. And they don't trust him to stick around, so they don't see why they would have him beat their guys that are staying around. That's why they had Cena beat him. Because you don't want to make Cena look like a bitch and lose to Brock, and then Brock leaves and Cena's still your guy. I mean, I disagree with that.
Should he wear the Al Snow Job Squad t-shirt?
Yeah, he basically should. That's why he's here.
50 baby.
And he hasn't gotten to look strong by annihilating guys on Raw or Nathan. So it's just like, every time Triple H comes in the ring, he runs away like a fucking pussy. So it's just stupid. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. And then Shawn... That whole thing was stupid, too. He just, I don't know. I can really see Sean costing him and building. Because right now, like I said, Triple H has no one lined up for Mania. And you know he's going to want something big in the Meadowlands there. So, I mean, it just makes perfect sense. I hope Sean doesn't do it because I really want him to just go out the way he went out. I really would not, don't want to see him wrestle another match. But I can just see it. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm outthinking myself like I often do, but.
Well, you're not second-guessing. No, it's usually second-guessing that come back and bite you in the ass, but you're pretty solid that Brock's going to win.
Well, a lot of times I come up with elaborate plans, and then...
Well, look at me. We both come up with what we think would be the best thing for the show.
Yeah, I mean, yours may... No, I don't think mine would be the best way. This is the way I see it happening. I don't think Sean turning heel and costing... I don't think any of that's good. I can just see it happening. I think the way to go is the way you said, is, but not 14-minute match. I think the way to go is... You know, Brock just really destroys him, but we'll see. I mean, if it's last, they're not going to do that. You know, if it's in the middle, they may do it, but I think it's going to be last.
I don't think it's going to be last.
I definitely do.
I think Punk.
No, I don't think so. I think Triple H Brock is last. I think to me, that's the biggest match of the show. It should be last. And if you look on the website, it's the top billing. So,
yeah, and it's also, I mean, Brock's on the poster. So, we'll see. I guess a lot of times I still want to protect his legacy and not.
Time to play the game.
Well, I would do that anyway, but it's going to be great to hear you sing that in Jake Daughter speak. We can't wait. All right, so there's our SummerSlam picks. We want to hear your SummerSlam picks.
All right, I'm going to start with Ed Harris, and we're not going to read we're just going to read your picks, basically.
Yeah.
All right, Ed Harris, Sheamus, no matter who he faces. Punk, Lesnar, although given how the Lesnar thing is gone, I wouldn't be shocked if Triple H won. Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler. He has Damian Sandow versus Brodus Clay on here. I don't think that's... Is that better now? Actually, everyone seemed to pick that.
Is that a match?
It's not on the website.
And
if it does happen...
Sugar Tits doesn't have it on the thread, so that's where I was getting our matches from.
If it does happen, I think Sandow wins. That's not a, no
yeah, I think
there.
So, too.
Okay, so he picks Sandow, Miz, Truth in Kingston, and Santino.
Okay. A guy that we're going to hear a little bit later on in our program, Jay Hinchy. He likes Brock, Punk, Sheamus, Brian, Jericho, but he thinks that Dolph's going to cash his money in the bank in later.
Interesting. I can see that.
And Sandow. Wait, isn't Dolph's his money in the bank? He has the Raw one, right? Yeah, he does.
Does he have Raw or SmackDown?
No, he's got the SmackDown.
Yeah, Cena had Raw.
So no, that's not going to... No, so sorry. Sorry, Hinch.
No, he can. He can cash in on Sheamus. Why?
Oh, that must be who he's talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was thinking, I'm sorry, I was thinking of the Cena match. All right, so he thinks that he's going to cash it in on Sheamus.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can see Sheamus winning and Dolph comes. I mean, they did it last year at SummerSlam, so.
Yeah. It'd have to be somebody that's going to end up feuding with Sheamus after the fact. Somebody must lay him out.
Right.
Something. Right, so, okay.
All right, Wade Ferrari, Lesnar, no reason Triple H should win this. I'll go with Cena. It seems due for a title run. I also think Punk losing will add to his new heel character. He always thinks he's getting slighted. I have no idea why they decided to go with this boring feud for another month. That's Sheamus Del Rio and do another match with after Sheamus beat him decisively. Sheamus wins to end the feud. Kane wins with help from Charlie Sheen. Jericho Ziggler, even though he's apparently leaving for a while, I'm going with Jericho. To them constantly talk about how he can't win a big match anymore and Ziggler beat him on Raw. I could see Ziggler attacking him after the match and injuring him to write him off. Now, that would be possible as well. They could do the old RVD Orton thing from 2007, where RVD surprisingly won his last match and then he got laid out. But Ziggler needs this win, and Jericho doesn't need it. So,
yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Sandow over Clay says he needs it more. And then he picks Miz, the primetime players, and Cesaro.
Okay. Corey Ferreira, he goes with Brock. He says he hopes Hunter does the right thing, gives Lesnar the win, because if they don't have Lesnar win, I question the whole experiment with his return. He likes Punk, because who the fuck wants another meaningless Cena title run? Well, Sheamus beats him, hopefully ends his boring feud. Jericho's going to do the right thing and make him look like a star, meaning Ziggler. Brian hears, hoping, seeing the Sheen thing doesn't look to be happening, he gets a win, because Christ, he needs a pay-per-view win. I agree with that. Sandow is going to squash that fat fuck and send him off TV. Oh, come on, we love Brodus. Cesaro all the way. Fuck Santino, useless prick. Jesus.
A lot of anger.
Despite what went down with AW, PTP are going to take the belts here and be the center of the tag division. Oh, okay, thinking optimistically. Miz will beat Ray, even though he's booked like shit, despite their top mid-card champ. I don't think he's booked like shit. Okay. Anyway, there's Corey's picks.
Ashley Cruz. Triple H wins, but Lesnar kills HBK after the match. I think he did. He do that before Raw? When was the 11th? Yeah, he did this before Raw, so.
Yeah.
Cena pins Big Show. Punk goes crazy. Jericho wins. Actually, yeah, if Punk is going to lose the title, he definitely is not eating the pin, so it could play into his angry character losing without losing.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Sheamus wins. Ziggler cashes in and beats Sheamus. Jericho challenges on Raw the next night and gets beat, and Jericho takes another vacation. I like that idea. Daniel Bryan and Sandow.
How about this? Before we on a side note, I just thought of a great, this is another one of our, wouldn't this be awesome if? Cena pin show, wins the title, he celebrates, Punk snaps, and out comes Cabana and all these other guys, and he restarts the Second City Saints.
Yeah, good luck.
I know. Why can't we just run things? Everything would be so much better.
Hey, you have a better chance of starting your own little eFed and having that occur. You go start a territory wars with Rav, our buddy Derek Barnett.
Christian Calloway. I gotta have a guy do the contracts. You know?
Well, he's not going to deal with a guy like Punk. It's too much for him.
No, it's too much for him. He could barely handle Rock, for God's sakes. I mean, really. Capo, Lube Meister. Sandow needs the win much more than Clay does. When did this match get booked?
I don't know. Everyone seems to be down with it, though.
I don't know. Okay. Brian hasn't won a match on pay-per-view since the Chamber. Brian needs this win badly, but it's not going to kill his career if he doesn't win. Ziggler wins. Jericho challenges him to a career versus Money in the Bank match the following night on Raw, where Ziggler wins again. That's interesting. Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio. This has to be one of the worst title feuds I've ever seen. It ain't Sheamus' fault. Sheamus wins to finish it off. Punk sneaks a win over Big Show, which will build to Cena winning the title from Punk at Night of Champions in Boston. And finally, Triple H wins, even though Lesnar needs the win much more, considering his only other match so far had him losing to Cena.
Dave Hall, CM Punk, Sheamus, Ziggler, Bryan, Brodus Clay, and he wants to say Lesnar, but he's tipped a lot of heel wins, which makes him think Triple H will win. He may get the win, and Lesnar destroys him in HBK post-match. You with me still?
All right, Kevin Bowers. He's pretty excited for this year's SummerSlam, and it is a good show. He likes Cesaro. Time for Santino to lose the U.S. strap, and who better to lose it to Cesaro, who's trying to break into WWE. He thinks Miz retains. He feels like this is booked to get these two on the show, and Miz needs another credible win. PTP become the new champs. Primetime players. Sandow wins, giving the Funkasaurus his first pay-per-view loss. As much as I want to root for Bryan, I think Sheen will make some kind of appearance enough to distract Bryan, leading to Kane picking up the win. The match he's most looking forward to, he's a fan of both guys, but sees Jericho winning the big one, as this will probably be his last match for a while. Sheamus versus, he says, no, he's not sure, but it will be Del Rio. Since SmackDown hasn't went down yet, we don't know who's facing Sheamus. Either way, Sheamus wins the match, but Dolph Ziggler cashes in and leaves SummerSlam the new World Heavyweight Champion. Punk versus Cena versus Big Show. Punk wins after pinning the Big Show after he's FU'd by Cena, leading to a rematch with Punk and Cena at Night of Champions. Triple H versus Brock, tough to call. His heart says Triple H. His gut says Brock Lesnar. Even if they want to make Brock a possible threat to the streak at Mania, he needs to pick up some wins in this run, so he's going with Brock.
All right, Austin Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff.
This will be a good to decent SummerSlam. Antonio will win the U.S. title. It will give a chance to finally revive the title. Miz retains the IC title. Mysterio just came back, but he doesn't need it. Not to mention, you can't rely on Ray anymore. Primetime players need to win the tag titles. The release of AW is such a bad timing, but their rise does not need to be affected if they don't allow it. Sandow will win against Brodus. Depending if Charlie Sheen's involved, Kane will more than likely win against Bryan. Jericho Ziggler will steal the show. Jericho will pick up the win going out the door, heading out on tour next. This will not hurt Ziggler if he loses. Sheamus retains the championship against whoever he faces. Ziggler cashing in would be a nice surprise, but it could still be a little early. I just can't see Punk losing anytime soon. Brock Triple H will be a stiff fight, and right now I'm leaning towards Brock. It'd be a good way to write Triple H, sorry, Scott, off TV and give Brock momentum heading to his next program, whether it's Taker or whomever.
Eh, I'm used to him not being on TV. No big deal. Ryan Howard. Philly sucks so much, I'm going to start bragging more about being the temp on The Office instead of the Philly's first baseman. I'm not that excited for this pay-per-view, with the exception of Jericho Ziegler, which I fully assume will steal the show. The rest of the matches don't have the big-time feel that a 25th anniversary of SummerSlam should have. I think I'm not as excited for Brock Triple H because they've shown the same highlight video from Raw 1000 week after week, multiple times an episode. It'll be a great brawl, but I see Brock destroying him and taking Triple H off TV for a while. It'll give Brock something to brag about when he comes back later in the year or next year. Tag titles are fine. Hopefully there's new champs. I really think that Young Titus need a mouthpiece. Since AW got canned, they need someone else to talk for them. May not see that for a while. I see Sheen causing Brian the match. Best sentence ever. Punk Cena show just seems like a house show with main event. The build has been pretty crappy since they've been forcing AJ down our throats each and every week in this angle. Hopefully Punk wins and continues his long reign. A couple quick things. Can't stand Oksana, but hopefully Cesaro wins the U.S. title. He deserves it, and also hopefully Sandow wins for the Rick Martel-inspired ring gear alone, which I concur.
And Jay Hinchy gives revised picks. Cesaro, PTP, Miz, Daniel Bryan, Jericho, Sheamus, Ziggler cashing in the belt, and Money in the Bank to win the belt, Brock Lesnar, and CM Punk. So there you go. There are your picks for SummerSlam. We appreciate that. Scott, let's hit the news quick, because we've got a lot to do still, and we're running a little behind.
Yes, we are. So let's get down right to business. Are you ready, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I love when you're not, when you don't know what's coming up next.
Do it. Very on simple. The gauntlet. Let's go.
Okay. Number one. We already know about this. This is not a total shock, but Alberto Del Rio defeated Chris Jericho in the main event of the SmackDown taping in Austin, Texas after Ziggler interfered. After the match, Ziggler and Del Rio double-teamed Jericho until Sheamus made the save. Del Rio originally attacked Sheamus, but Sheamus was able to mount a comeback and Del Rio escaped through the crowd. SmackDown general manager Booker T came out and told Sheamus that he shouldn't be there since he was injured. Sheamus pleaded to Booker to have his match with Del Rio reinstated for SummerSlam. Booker originally said no, but relented after Sheamus repeatedly said please. So, as of course, Sheamus Del Rio back on for SummerSlam. Number two. This is another sad story about your boy, and it's really getting disturbing now.
Derailed
about it.
This guy.
Since apologizing to WWE and TNA fans earlier that night. For lashing out at WWE champion CM Punk for his recent comments about TNA being akin to an indie league, Kurt Angle took back to his Twitter to call out Punk just hours later. "Who wants to see Angle versus Punk?" Angle wrote. "It would last 30 seconds, LOL. Just kidding. I'm not mad anymore, Punk. You're safe now. Put it to rest. Angle versus Punk will happen, TNA or WWE. I hope TNA. We'll see. You tough, Punk? If TNA is an indie company, then why do I make more money than Punk does in WWE? I'm just saying." Angle has since deleted those tweets.
Shocker.
You know, you guys bust my stones about knowing about Twitter. This guy should not know anything about Twitter because it's been a disaster.
Yeah, he'd be better off not knowing. It's not made for guys like him, that's for sure.
No. We talked about this a little while ago. Khloe Kardashian Odom joins the WWE Universe as social media ambassador. Oh, it is Monday's Raw. My apologies.
I thought so. I didn't think it was SummerSlam.
Yeah, she'll be tweeting along with the WWE Universe during the first Raw after SummerSlam. Okay. The personality, fashion designer, businesswoman, and radio host has more than 7 million Twitter followers. Her hit television series, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, airs Sunday nights and blah, 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 blah. So. I'm sorry. It is Monday. Okay. All right. Next up, John Cena was interviewed by Stephen Mulehausen of the Fight Club Chicago Pro Wrestling MMA radio show at the Chicago Comic Con last week. Cena was asked about The Rock's return at the Royal Rumble to face whomever the WWE champion is. Quote, "I think about WrestleMania every single day, whether it's for the WWE championship or not." Cena admitted, "I would like another shot to face The Rock." And you and I both think that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Big story here involving Florida. WWE Developmental Florida Championship Wrestling has relaunched its official website to www.fcwwrestling.info to reflect a rebranding under the WWE NXT name. Thus far, however, the website URL remains unchanged. The relaunched website features all FCW references downplayed in favor of NXT, as well as a new design, photos, roster, etc. So it looks like they're going to officially call it NXT.
Yeah, and Terry Taylor, I don't know if you have this story, but he's been brought back to help run that as well. So,
You know what? I had it, and then I replaced it with something else so the list wouldn't get too long. But yes, yep. Terry Taylor is in. And that's good. You know, always been a solid guy and always a good – and I like Terry Taylor because he's one of those guys that's been around everywhere. Mm-hmm. He worked for TNA, right? He was in TNA, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was at TNA, WCW, WC, he's been everywhere. So
I mean, they definitely got a lot of good things. You know, they got Jim Ross and Dusty Rhodes. They got William Regal. They, you know, they got a lot of good guys involved in this project. So
yeah, and actually, our man Johnny Reckless actually has some copies of the show. I think he's going to make some copies for us.
Nice.
Of those full sale shows. All right, WWE will be theatrically screening CM Punk's Best in the World documentary from the new DVD on October 7th in Chicago. WWE champion CM Punk will be in attendance for the screening.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
This is the first time WWE has shown any of their DVD productions in a theater. It will be a lengthy show, as the documentary portion of the DVD is, I think it's like an hour and 49 minutes or something. No word yet on the location. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be something that they should, to be honest with you, they probably make more money putting the documentary on their screens than any of the, any of the WWE studio movies. I don't know. What do you, want? Do you want to watch the Rise and Fall of WCW or The Chaperone?
I want to watch the new Scooby-Doo movie that they're doing.
Yes, they are doing a new Scooby-Doo movie. You ready for this? This story, I put this in specifically for you because I know you get incredibly pumped up about it, and it has to do a lot with because it has to do a lot with our recurrent reviews.
Yep.
According to a report by Dave Scherer and those guys at PW Insider, there's been discussions between WWE and JBL about JBL returning in some capacity, most likely as
ball game.
Both parties are said to be extremely interested in it. It's expected that if it goes down, JBL will take Booker's spot on the SmackDown team. That will be awesome.
Yeah, and he said it. He's in, but he hasn't heard anything yet. And he said, you know, he basically said Lawler's never going anywhere. So this is an opportunity for him to get the job. He said if they came to him, that he would definitely do it. So,
I mean, JR, he's been getting us through a lot of these late 07.
oh, God, if he came back, that would make SmackDown must watch to me, that if he was on commentary.
Because his commentary will help put over these feuds that we all think are stagnant, because let's face it, Cole and Josh just aren't doing it. Okay, I put this on just as my personal social media joke, but I think you'll get a kick out of it. I have to wait for the page to go down a little bit. Here we go. WWE will be hiding two free SummerSlam tickets in Los Angeles this Friday. The WWE Twitter and Tout accounts will be giving away the clues to find the tickets. WWE will be giving out clues at 12 noon local time on Friday, so that would be 3 o'clock here. A WWE website employee will be waiting at the locations with the tickets. The second and third persons to find the location will win tickets to access on Saturday.
It's a cool idea. Why not? Get the fans involved. See, this is the stuff they definitely should be doing, unique things like this. So, you know, the social media department and the classics department, like all those departments, the website, those guys all seem to get it. You know, it's like it's just the TV and creative people that are kind of lost in the shuffle.
Lost in the shuffle. I agree. Now, this guy's been mentioned constantly tonight, both you and I, and into the picks. While WWE has not confirmed... Oh God, these pages take so long to load. While WWE has not confirmed Charlie Sheen for SummerSlam, there's a feeling backstage that Sheen may still do some kind of angle on Sunday in Los Angeles, especially after the anger management references continued last week, this week. The downside to Sheen doing an angle at SummerSlam is WWE missed out on the pre-pay-per-view publicity.
Yeah, but they could have him show up here, get the post publicity, and then have him fight or do something in the future on Raw, you know, or the next pay per view or something. So they're doing it for a reason. Like they'll get the pub at some point. This isn't going to be a one and done. So,
all right, this story just made me laugh out loud at work today because this is just so like indie league for WWE to do this is just comical. It's been noted before on some other websites that some of the WWE mid-card talents were upset about being paid just $500 per night for working the recent tour of Central and South America. Well, the reason given by a source was that talents were usually paid more for international tours, but this one wasn't as successful. In an update, WWE officials sent out a memo to the talents who worked the tour and said there was a clerical error when payments were done.
Yep.
New increased payments are to be issued to
and
the
talent. And this was part of what all the anger was about, right? JTG and everything what they were all bitching about.
Yeah, it was JTG and a couple other people. It's not so ECW-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what, does Paul sit there with the checkbook? And, my dad hasn't given me the... Oh, my God. All right. New names were suggested over the past week for a manager to Titus O'Neil and Darren Young's tag team. Word is that Vince McMahon is not interested in having managers once again. Raw was written on Friday, and a source reports that Vince was very anti-manager on Friday. The feeling is that things may change, and another manager could be introduced to the primetime players. Probably be Vicky. Just throw her, give them more.
You can't keep up with Vince's whims. He changes his mind day to day. I mean, I think it'd be cool if they got another manager, but whatever.
Okay. Speaking of the primetime players' ex-manager, we noted WrestleChat.net put that former WWE talent, AW, of course, Abraham Washington, spoke with Connecticutpost.com, a local paper, about his release and says he was fired for last week's Linda McMahon tweet. An interesting tidbit from that interview, he revealed that he received a phone call last Friday from WWE executive Jane Geddes informing him of the release. This shows that Geddes is now handling the departures. Previously, that was a duty of course, your man, Big Johnny. But as we have noted, Laurinaitis lost many of his duties to new Triple H hires.
Yeah.
And recently lost the job of VP.
Yeah, Triple H is not like him, so.
No. But then again, nobody did anyway, so.
Yeah. He's basically just a road agent at this point.
Yes. Okay. According to a report by Figure Four Online, it's our pal Brian Alvarez, WWE addressed anybody being unhappy in the locker room in a meeting prior to Raw. WWE asked if there was anyone unhappy, then they should speak up. Reportedly, nobody said anything. WWE ended the meeting by saying, use common sense and be careful with social media.
Yep, makes sense.
Yeah.
Every company should do this now.
Yes, I concur. That's why, well, our company, Twitter and Facebook are blocked at work. So, all right, in something that makes Carlo Massimini very happy, UFC Hall of Famer Ken Shamrock will be a playable character in the upcoming WWE 13 video game. In stores October 30th. I actually put my I put a little pre-order money in on it.
Very
Shamrock,
nice.
Who held the Intercontinental title, tag titles, and of course the 1998 King of the Ring, also head of the ASOBs, will be featured as part of the Attitude Era mode in this year's game.
Speaking of video games, did you see the new NBA game coming out this year is going to have the original Dream Team and this year's Olympic team in it?
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That is very cool. I actually had last year's NBA 12. I had Magic on the front, but for some reason my Xbox did some glitch and I ended up trading it in because it wasn't playing anymore. So, but that's actually very cool because I've been on a whole thing about the Dream Team and Kobe's comments, and that's our sports thing. We'll talk about that later. And finally, I want to give everyone an update on the confirmed DVD and Blu-ray release dates.
Oh Lord,
a lot of good stuff. No, we're not doing set lists. Just the dates. We're not going to read lists. I'm not going to read matches. Just the list of the stuff coming out. Not counting the pay-per-views. You know they're coming out. August 21st, which is next Tuesday, that 50 Greatest Finishing Moves DVD, which I'm probably going to skip.
Is it LaRue pretzel twist in there?
Yes, the sugar twist.
He has the best finishing move ever. He finishes me off well every time.
Oh, God, kill me. Get your voice ready there, Sunshine, because you're singing next Monday. all right, then those Superstar Collection DVDs will start coming out September 4th. Well, who's out now? Cena and somebody are out now. Oh, Zack Ryder. They're out right now. September 4th, the Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston DVDs are coming out. Unbelievably unwatchable Orton's Rock Cena Once in a Lifetime crap comes out September 11th. CM Punk Best in the World, October 9th. Then the next pair of Superstar Collection DVDs come out October 16th, Shawn Michaels and Rey Mysterio. The Brock Lesnar Here Comes the Pain Collector's Edition. Ready for that, JR? Comes out October 30th. It's going to be three discs, more matches. That comes out the same day as the game.
Cool.
So, and then how about this for November? Two big releases coming in November. You ready for this? November 6th, the new World Order.
Nice.
Four discs, you think?
Wow, four discs. Oh.
No, I'm asking. You think four discs?
Probably not four. Probably at least three, though.
Well, if you go to WWEDVDnews.com, there's a column called Fantasy Concept, where a guy actually creates a box in his own. If a future DVD release he thinks people would like, he creates the box and it looks really good. Then he makes a list. It's really great. Got to go to it. And then November 20th, the Attitude Era set comes out. And I've heard that is supposed to be four discs.
Yeah, those both sound good to me. Those are about the only two on the list I'm really clamoring for. Yeah. And maybe the Brock one.
Yeah. You have the original Here Comes the Pain, right? I think you have
the original. I don't have it.
So I'll probably get this because I don't have it. So. Then obviously the pay-per-views come out as well.
Right,
so I just wanted to throw that out there. So
okay, all right. There's your wrestling news and notes. Let's hit a couple sports stories quick, and then we will move on. So, all right, Olympics. I followed quite a bit of it. I found them to be pretty interesting. I'm kind of sad they're over. I liked having that little nightly, something you knew would be on to watch. I got into the handball. I enjoyed that a lot. Enjoyed the volleyball. Anything special you got into? I watched a lot of.
I like the swimming. I actually got into water polo.
That was good too. It could drag a little bit here and there, but the big matches were good.
Very happy for the girls' soccer team. They got lucky. Mm-hmm. They got lucky against Canada because those two calls were – well, the goalie holding the ball too long was the right call, but that the poor Canadian girl that got called for the handball, even though the ball was coming at her at like 100 miles an hour, I thought that was kind of bogus. But, you know, congratulations to the girls. The basketball teams, very anticlimactic. I mean, Spain gave the guys a game late, and I think Australia in the semis gave the girls a game for a while, but I think everyone knew they were both going to win. I was very happy we got the gold and silver in the decathlon for the first time in like 8 Olympics, so I was stoked about that. We looked great. Congrats to China. China had a good showing. China had a good
Germany
showing.
Germany too.
Yep, Germany. Usually, obviously, the Russians. Congrats to our girls' gymnastics team, Gabby Douglas and all of them for winning the team again. They blew them out. They beat Russia by like 5 points, which is like, you know, a million points in any other sport.
Usain Bolt, that was pretty crazy. He was like trailing for like the first 7 steps and then just destroyed everyone.
Yeah. They say that if he ran a full 200, he could probably go under 8 seconds. That's how fast he is. But like the last, like, you know, 50 meters, he dogs it because he knows he's going to win. But if he ran full boat for the whole 200, he could probably set records. No one would even sniff. What'd you think of NBC's coverage in general? I don't want to belabor the whole thing. I just wanted a quick answer. Just as a casual
viewer. I don't know. It didn't bother me. I mean, I get why people were annoyed, but to me, it seemed like people were just looking for issues to begin with, and the tape delay should never bother me. But, you know, in my defense, I had the iPad app, so I got to watch whatever I wanted at any point anyway. So
yeah, and I had a couple apps on my phone that I could check the medals. In 2 years, it's going to suck because the Winter Olympics are in Sochi, Russia, so the time change is going to be a fucking mess. But in 4 years, the Summer Olympics are in Rio, and I think they're almost exactly our time zone. So we may actually look out kind of like Atlanta in 96,
yeah,
and actually in Salt Lake City in 02, and actually have things at the right time. So that was it. Just wanted to kind of see what people's thoughts were on the Olympics. It was fun to watch. London did a good job. I can't argue with it.
Dwight Howard.
Obviously the big. I need to talk about this because we got to get Rish on because him and I need to start screaming at each other.
Well, as we get close to NBA season, we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, not now. I got to scream at Rish. But yes, the deal's finally been done. I almost called him Ryan Howard. Dwight Howard is a Laker, and a lot of moves were made. And the Magic, you know, I want to say one thing. Everyone thinks the Magic got screwed.
They did.
The Lakers offered them Pau Gasol, and they said no.
No.
They didn't want the money, so they didn't want to pay him. So,
Orlando gave away the best asset and did the worst in the trade. That's how it worked out.
Yeah,
they had the most to offer, and somehow they ended up the worst off. I thought Philly did well landing Bynum.
Yep, I think so.
They need
too.
To really hope they can keep him. That's the key.
Yeah, well, and he's weird surgery, that weird knee procedure done in September, the one that your boy A-Rod had done and my boy Kobe. Actually, each of our guys had it done, so we'll see how it works out. But
and Denver getting Iguodala, I thought, was a very good pickup for them. So
yeah, I mean, Iguodala was a good player, but he just wasn't winning with the Sixers. I think they both just
needed. Yeah, well, he's not a franchise guy, but he'll fit in nicely as a piece in Denver. Philly needed a big man. That's what they needed. So
yeah, well, now he's pretty much the best center in the Eastern Conference now.
Yeah, when healthy,
pretty
yes.
much. The Lakers, it's not a guarantee now because there's a kryptonite with Dwight Howard. There's one guy that drives Dwight Howard nuts when they play each other, and that's Kendrick Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
He always gives Dwight Howard trouble.
Well, I mean, and he was in trouble of you know, losing his spot, but now that Dwight Howard's in the West, I think the Thunder will probably hang on to him and continue to make him a focal point. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's the Thunder and the Lakers and, you know, the Spurs lingering. So, to me, those are the three favorites. I mean, the Lakers completely upgraded, obviously. You know, Steve Nash must be in heaven. I mean, going from the poo-poo platter of shit he had in Phoenix. And now he's playing with Kobe, Dwight Howard, and, you know, everyone else over there. So, big turnaround for him. And I feel bad for the Clippers. So, they're relegated again now to being the redhead stepchild or redhead stepson, as Kent Patera would say. But,
yes.
You know, and now this makes maybe Chris Paul leaving maybe a little more likely.
Yeah, and the trade that didn't happen. I got to thank, as a Laker fan, I got to thank the NBA. I got to thank David Stern for.
So you'd rather have Howard than Paul?
The Lakers just are always bred to need a good center. That's
well,
how
I mean, they had Bynum. So you would have had Bynum and Chris Paul with Kobe. You think, prefer the setup with Nash and Howard?
I do. I think in the long run, Bynum was just not a happy guy. And every playoff, he pisses and moans and cries. Of course, now Dwight Howard showed that he pisses and moans and cries.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not exactly a modern citizen.
But at least I think his stats will legitimately back it up, but he's got a bulky back. There's still a lot of questions to be answered.
You think Howard stays?
Yes. If they make it to the NBA Finals, if they get bounced in the first round, then no.
I think he stays anyway, because I don't know where else he'd go unless he goes Dallas and Atlanta. I guess are the only two options now, because Brooklyn's
and
out.
I got to be honest, I'll tell you who the winners are. And you might disagree with me, but I think the winners are the Brooklyn Nets. I'm glad they didn't make the move. I think they got a good team. I really do.
No, they could have used him. I still think they could have used him. But I think they did well, and now that he's out of the East and they don't really have a dominant center, I mean, you look at Brooke Lopez, and he's up there as far as centers go in the East now with Dwight gone.
He really
so.
Is. Yeah.
I won't say they're better off, but they, they're doing okay.
Well, they have the best point guard in the East. I don't think there's any. Oh, well, Derrick Rose, but he's more of a two.
Rondo's better than DeRozan.
Oh, you really think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, they got great shooters. I mean, Marshawn, I think, is going to get more minutes this year. I mean, we'll get more NBA later on down the line. My point is I think the Nets were better off not getting him. That's just my personal opinion. The Lakers, I think, needed to be relevant. They have a lot of money invested. They're going to pay a lot in luxury tax. So, I mean.
Oh, I'll give the Lakers this. They always find a way. So.
They do always find a way. All right. Major League Baseball, two stories in general. That both things happened today. And then we've got you on deck with your thing. But first off. The King, Felix, who eventually is not going to be wearing this uniform much longer, continues to set himself up for a huge payday in the future through the second perfect game of the season.
And a sixth no-hitter.
Both of them at Safeco.
Yeah.
And he beat the Rays today 1-0.
Was there ever a more obvious perfect game that actually happened? Like, when you looked at that lineup, like, in Safeco, Felix has been dealing, and Tampa's lineup is atrocious. So, it was a perfect storm. Like, you could kind of see it coming, and then it happened, and he just sliced them up. Do you happen to know his final pitch count?
I know he
was cruising. He had, like, 50-something through six.
I can open it up and check.
It out for me.
But Helixson actually didn't pitch that bad today.
No,
he only lost nothing. It was a tough loss.
I saw Felix last weekend in Yankee Stadium against Kuroda, and that was a hell of a pitching matchup. And, you know, even though he shut the Yankees down, I couldn't even be mad. I couldn't. It was just amazing to watch. He just destroyed them. So, he's amazing when he's locked in, and he just covered them up. And how nervous must the shortstop for Seattle been today to make that play in the ninth with one out? It must have been, like, the most nerve-wracking play of all time.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Kind of sad, though, that this is Felix's, like, they were saying how, like, the ninth inning is, like, his biggest inning of his career. Like, it's sad this guy's been toiling away and never had, you know, playoff games or anything else important going on.
113 pitches, 77 strikes.
Okay, so beast. 12 strikeouts, right?
27 batters faced, 16 first pitch strikes. I mean, he was just on today.
Crazy.
He was absolutely on today.
So, congrats to him. Great pitching performance. Always good to see. Now, on the flip side of the coin, I know you want to rant a little bit, of course, is Melky Cabrera busted for... Yes. High levels of testosterone, got a 50-game suspension. I guess there were rumors leaked around the All-Star break that he had failed. It was tied up in appeals. Came out today. He is going to miss the final 45 games of the season. And if the Giants make the playoffs, he'll miss the first five playoff games. And if they don't make it, he'll miss the first five games of next year, wherever he is. Of course, he's a free agent. He totally wrecked any chance he had to make it a big payday now, I think.
Yeah,
he's going to have to redeem himself.
He's a jack-off. He's a selfish, stupid...
Yeah, but what did you want him to do? I mean, the guy was going to be out of baseball. He took one last gasp and hoping he'd get away with it. I can see where they're coming from. You know what I mean?
I think it's selfish, and he ruined – I mean, his team – his team needed him. He was second in the league.
Yeah, but they weren't going to have him if he didn't do the testosterone.
Wait a minute. Are you actually justifying the fact that he was smart to actually attempt to
– I don't think he'd be this good without it.
No, he wouldn't.
So that's the point. So you're saying, oh, he's selfish because the Giants needed him. Well, they would have never had his caliber if he didn't do it. So they wouldn't even known.
But he knew he was going to get caught.
No, he didn't.
They catch everybody now.
Yeah, you never know. I think in his spot, if you're going to be out of baseball unless you turn your career around, I can see the temptation to do it. And if he got away with it, if he made it to the end of the year and didn't get caught till next year, he would have had a big money deal already.
So is he done? Is he done?
No, he's not done. There'll always be a team to give him a chance. I mean, every other one has gotten a chance.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like he was hitting 50 homers or anything, but, I mean, I don't know. Thank God. Let's put it this way. Thank God the Giants got Hunter Pence, because they'd be screwed right now, because then all they got is Buster Posey, and that's pretty much it. I mean, your boy there, Big Kung Fu Panda, is he hurt again? No, he came back, right? He's still in the lineup, right? He didn't get hurt again, did he?
No, he's playing, I think.
No, he's still playing. I mean, he's not having a bad year.
I just don't see. If anything, he's selfless because he, took a chance on ruining his career to help the team. So I don't know. I mean, it's stupid and it's dumb, and who knows? I mean, you know, a lot of his success this year was BABIP related, batting average on balls in play. He was very high in there. A lot of lucky breaks too. So that was a big. You know, that's what a lot of stat heads were saying was helping fuel his year anyway, even before this leak. So I think it's a combination of both. I'm not going to say this is the only reason he broke out. I mean, he's a guy that was hitting his prime years that looked like it. It's just that he had such a quick ascension. But, you know, he always had maturity and other issues. So I don't think it was that big of a shock that he would have finally got his act together and straightened himself out. I mean, but I don't know. I'm just saying with the money involved and everything else, I can see the temptation. I can understand why guys would take the risk.
All I'm saying is this isn't 10 years ago where everybody looked the other way. I mean, now you could take anything and get caught. So I think he knew. I think maybe he was hoping it wouldn't be till after the season.
Yeah, or he was hoping. You're right. I mean, he rolled the dice. You know, if he gets popped in this test next April, you know, when he cashed in, look at Ryan Braun. He signed his deal and he made his money and then it happened. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's.
By the way, on a side note, getting back to Felix, do you know Joe Maddon got ejected today?
That's funny.
He was arguing balls and strikes in the seventh inning. And you know who drove in the only Mariner run?
The Jesus.
Your boy Jesus. So, anyway, so the Giants, who are now out of first place right now as we speak, the Dodgers are a half game up in the West. Yeah. So.
But they're tied for a wild card spot.
Yes. All right, I'm done with what I wanted to say. The floor is yours. And then I'll have my analysis after.
Shit. I was hoping to be able to play this during my rant, but then I can't read my notes, so you get the point. I'm here to rant about the Red Sox. Yeah. A lot going on up here in Red Sox Nation up in the Northeast. The media and everyone else is completely turned on that team, except for the local like beat guys. They're all kind of still defending it. Scott, I think you can give me credit here for being absolutely correct on Bobby Valentine before the season. Told you it'd be a bad fit.
I agree.
You could put him along with my other predictions, right? The Mavericks, Ochocinco, Albert Haynesworth, now Bobby Valentine. All these other things I've been correct on since we started the show. That team, are you up on everything that's happened the last couple days?
Yes. Yeah.
Adrian Gonzalez and...
Yep.
Okay. Dustin Pedroia, yep. They Adrian Gonzalez sent a text message to the owners bitching about Bobby Valentine. This all seemed to happen after John Lester was left out there to give up 11 runs in 5 innings. A couple weeks ago, so they had a players meeting with management when they were in New York a couple weeks ago. 17 of the players were involved, and apparently they're saying they're done playing for Valentine. They don't want to play for him anymore. There's also rumors that there was a picture going around that Dustin Pedroia took while Bobby Valentine was taking a nap in the clubhouse, and he's standing next to him with his thumbs up, and the caption said, here's our fearless leader making his lineup decisions at 3:30 in the afternoon, and he was asleep. So, you know, that whole franchise is a disaster right now. It's a mess. Whiners, they complain. No accountability at all. It's an unlikable bunch. Adrian Gonzalez, what a bitch. What a pussy.
Yeah,
what a whiny loser.
He turned into such a puss bag.
He ever won? Get a fucking life. Go out there. This dude was batting like 250 for the first half of the year. Valentine actually defended him, and now he's throwing him under the bus. Why? Because he fucking doesn't want to play Sunday night games, whatever nonsense he was bitching about last year.
Oh,
what a fucking tool bag. Go back to San Diego, you pussy. What a loser. My God.
Yeah, he really became a puss bag.
They were obsessed with him for years, and now they fucking get him, and this is what you get. I mean, just compare him and Mark Teixeira. You know, his average may be higher, but everything else you get Teixeira. Guys is quiet, goes about his business. You don't get anything. It's nonsense.
He's playing hurt this year. He's playing with that weird coughing, breathing thing.
This is unlikable. This is completely unlikable. None of them ever take any responsibility. Beckett, Lester, all these guys, it's always someone else's fault. You know, whether it's Ortiz, they're bitching about not being able to DH when they go to the NL Park, so they bitch about the schedule, too many games in a row, too many road games, balls and strikes. And now that Yukis is gone, it's got a little bit better. But Jesus Christ, they're always staring down. Ortiz is worse, too, staring at the umps after every ball and strike call. The whining and the complaining, everything is everyone else's fault. Then it was Frank, you know, they all turned on Francona. He was gone. And then the franchise as a whole sets a tone because they trash everyone who leaves there. You know, as soon as Francona leaves, he's the winningest manager in franchise history, won 2 World Series after the 86-year drought, and then they trash him and say he's a fucking pill-popping, you know, pothead or whatever when he left. Fucking throw him on the bus, trash him. Manny Ramirez, trash. Johnny Damon, trash. Pedro Martinez, trashed. Everyone. Yeah, it's coming with Ortiz. Trust me, it's coming. As soon as he leaves, there'll be another one. They'll go back to the milkshakes and everything else that they hid under the rug with the players' union for the last 5 years. Another bullshit. Yep. You never see these issues with teams with strong management. Yankees, Rays, Tigers, Braves. You know, these teams all have strong upper, the Cardinals. These teams all have strong management, strong voices up top. You never hear any of this shit. No issues like this. This is ridiculous. Track record of trashing the players, like I said. The media is denying it. The beat writers, but then the national writers are the ones getting all the stories. So that's what's being harped upon on local radio, saying, where all these guys that are in the clubhouse denying it, and then you have these national guys breaking these stories. So obviously there's something there that just isn't getting out for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, the players are playing like shit. They take no ownership for anything that's going on, and everything gets blamed on everyone else. So I don't know. I mean, I'm only ranting on it because I have to hear about it every day, and of course I'm enjoying the chaos and the nonsense. So they're currently, what, 11 games out of the division and 6.5 out of the wild card. They're losing again tonight, 5-3 to Baltimore. They were up 2-0 and they blew that game. So Beckett's clearly the problem. I mean, Valentine's probably going to be gone. I think Beckett needs to go. And I don't know. And I lost a lot of respect for Pedroia, too. He was a guy I always thought just went out there. It was kind of a Jeter light kind of guy. You know, just went out there, minded his business, and did his thing. But he disappointed. He's a guy that you wanted to see step up. And maybe, even if you didn't like Valentine because he's Tito's boy, you still like him come out and kind of say, okay, you know, we're going to rally behind Bobby V. We're going to, you know, we're going to play hard. We're going to give it a go. You know, we love Tito. He's gone now. There's nothing we can do about it. We let him down by playing like shit. But no, instead he's throwing Valentine under the bus, and the whole thing says when Euclidus got benched, he came out and said, this isn't how we do things here. Well, fuck you. You're not the coach. This is how we do things here. Where the hell are you?
What, you know? Are you, the mafia?
you know, you want to be a leader on that team, step up. Step and be a leader. Don't be a bitch and a whiner. And a lot of people around here have been trashing him, saying they've lost a lot of respect for Pedroia. So just a lot of mess, and, you know, I've really enjoyed it. So it's been a lot of fun to listen to.
Yes. On both perspectives, I think they're both wrong. We talked about this in March. I've been Bobby coached my guys for 6 years, and we made it to the playoffs twice, made it to the World Series once. There's probably not many better straight up X and O managers in baseball than Bobby V. The guy knows baseball. He's not an idiot in that aspect.
Yes, he is. Now, he's been terrible.
Now, on the other side of the coin,
he's a media creation.
He's also a Fairfield, I wouldn't put more Connecticut digs, but I can do that because I live here. Typical lower Fairfield County, Stamford, pretty boy athlete of the 60s who thought his shit didn't stink and everybody should kiss his ass. And he's not a very good people person. He doesn't know how to act and handle people.
The problem is he runs his mouth. He doesn't back off. And they brought him in to do that. And then they neutered him. They cut his balls off right out of the gate. And they didn't let him do that. And then he still kind of tried to do it. And he's still trying to be a player's manager, but not really. It's like, he's just, it wasn't a good fit. It just made no sense. It was a stupid hire. It made no sense.
He never should have wanted this job.
No sense.
There were so many other gigs. He should have just stayed in fucking Japan. He was making millions.
He should have stayed in ESPN. Why do you need this hassle?
Well, that's true too. He was living life. He was able. He could say and smile and do that, you know, Fairfield County Stamford speak and get away with it. And now he wanted to try and I could fix this and fuck Francona. I'm better than him. And
I told you that was a big upgrade, by ESPN and a big downgrade by the Red Sox. As soon as that happened, Francona is far superior to Valentine in the booth and in the dugout as well. So it worked out well. And look at Tito now. Gets paid millions. He's beloved. He is a tragic figure. Got tossed out of there. He's sexting photos of himself on a boat, so he's got it all.
And he's got two rings that they never would have had without him.
Yeah, he's got it all.
Let's be honest about that. And that really the only guy in that team, and they threw him under the bus, is Jacoby Ellsbury. The guy's hurt, and they kept calling him a puss. I mean, seriously.
No, there's a lot of issues. And then you got all the shit with Kyle Crawford going on where he's saying he needs Tommy John. They're saying he doesn't. They're making him play. It's like all this fucking stuff. It's so stupid. Yeah. Oh, there's so much wrong. And Beckett just goes out there, you know, 8 runs, 6 runs, 7 runs, 5 runs, 8 runs, 7 runs, 4 runs. It's like, atrocious. He's been so bad. Yeah. So, all right, we have a lot to get to, so we got to move on. But I just wanted to – I haven't had a good Red Sox rant in a while.
No, not at all. Of course, we're getting close to NFL. And I thought you're gonna find the you're gonna find the Hop and Aquila version. No, please. Well, Farouk singing Sweet Caroline, can you imagine?
No, please, no.
Of course, preseason football underway. Some games this past weekend. Robert Griffin looked pretty good, apparently, for the Redskins. Did you watch your boys Friday night? Was it Friday night?
I don't have NFL Network right now.
Oh, that's right.
No, I didn't. I kind of was following along online, but
apparently, I mean, they looked okay. Some plays.
Well,
not
the defense
great.
Looked good, but
yeah, the defense looked good. Tebow ran a few Wildcats. He didn't look that bad. Obviously, Monday the Cowboys looked dreadfully dull, but they won.
Oh God.
But of course, Jason Witten in that game suffered a lacerated spleen.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Ow! How do you do that? So he's out for the preseason, and he's questionable for week 1. Do you realize, JR? Week 1. 3 weeks from tonight.
Yes,
you ready?
And we will be doing it a full preview the week before Labor Day, I think, right? We have it plugged in?
Yes.
Yep. And Kyle Forchetti will be joining us, big NFL guy. So,
yeah.
All right, Scott, let me tell you my little bat story, and then we're going to move on.
Bat story. This is I can't wait for this.
All right, so, as you know, I have a tenant in my old house right now, our friend Michelle.
Yes, your friend Michelle.
She
yes,
called calls me in a panic Saturday morning around, I think, 9 o'clock. So when she's calling me, I know something's up because she's an excellent tenant, never have any problems or issues. She calls me and says she was washing dishes and a bat stuck its head out of the drain of my kitchen sink at my other house. And she lost her shit. Her her glamorous male roommate that's currently staying there with her was running around screaming, apparently. So this is a big chaotic scene. So she calls me out. Now, I call 911. I just called the police department in Cranston.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you want me to do with this thing? And they said, all right, we'll call DEM and they'll walk you through it. So I call DEM. And they are like, well, is there a baby in the house? Did it touch anyone? Is it go in the bedroom? And I said, no, it's in the sink. And they said, well, you know, there's nothing we can really do about it. You have to just take care of yourself. They're like, we'll give your name to the Department of Health, and they may call you. So I said, well, they're definitely going to call me. Do I need to do it myself? And he said, do it yourself. So he gives me some names of places to call that, you know, can help me out. So I call a couple. They want like $600, $700. It's a Saturday to come out and get this fucking bat. So I'm like, screw this. There's no way I'm paying $600 for this. So I call my uncle, who's kind of a jack of all trades. He meets me over there. We go over. And by this point, they had covered the bat with a pan. And I asked them to maybe switch it so we could see what was going on. So they switched the pan with a glass pan cover. So I come over there, and this bat is just sitting in the sink, shivering. It looks so scared, this poor little thing, with the cover over it. In the meantime, I had called my dad, and I'm like, you know, asking him for advice what I should do. He tells me that we should force it back into the drain and turn on the garbage disposal. And I'm like, are you fucking out of your mind? I'm not going to chop this thing up in the garbage disposal. And I'm like, God knows what.
That. I can just hear that in the great Gazzo voice, too. I'll just chop it up.
I'm like, God knows what disease, what it has. Like, I'm not going to splatter that all over the sink. So his friend, he's at a softball tournament. His friend tells me, put it in the drain and pour Clorox down there and poison it.
Jesus.
And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? So
psychos.
So I get there, and I'm looking at this poor thing, and I'm like, I can't kill this thing. It's sitting there so scared. It's shaking. So my uncle, we come up with the plan. I lift the pan cover. He grabs the bat and a rag, and we throw it out onto the driveway, and we grab a shovel and just kind of flick it into the woods next to the house there.
Yep.
So
yep.
The bat's evacuated. Michelle cleans the house. She's calmed down. So I come home and kind of don't think anything of it. A few hours later, my phone rings. It's the Department of Health. She's asked me some questions, and she's like, you know, what did you do with the bat? Did you capture it? Did you, you know, keep it to bring in? I said, no. I said, I called the DM, and he told me to get, you know, take care of it myself. I said, I released it. She's all pissed off that I released this bat back out into the woods. So she asks for Michelle's information. She calls her, and she gets her all in a frenzy about possibly being infected with rabies and all this other shit. Then Michelle had a bite on her, and now she's all afraid that the bite was a bat bite. All this fucking nonsense, this lady started. She's all, the Department of Health's all pissed off at me for letting this bat go. And I'm like, if you wanted the fucking bat, get off your ass and come help me get it. And I'm not going to cart this thing around the state of Rhode Island trying to find it. I don't know the fuck the Department of Health is. On a Saturday afternoon, I got better things to do than drive around the freak. I had a polo match to go to, goddammit. I couldn't fucking drive around with a bat and a box trying to friggin', you know, find out where the Department of Health is to deliver this so they could dig rabies tests on it. When I called the DM twice, they should have came and got the fucking bat. So, Michelle had already actually been battling Lyme disease, so she was already on the medication that they would have given her for a bat bite. So, everything seems to be okay. I think she went for a checkup anyway just to be safe, but so this is my bat story for this weekend.
I only have one regret. And that regret is that the bat didn't pop up during one of our, you know, past DATs or Spring Fest. Or, could you imagine, Jeff? He probably would have picked the thing up and started petting it. Or
I don't know what I would have done if that was me. I mean, I could understand why. Imagine just fucking washing dishes and a bat sticks his head out through the fucking drain. I mean, that's the last thing in the world you're expecting.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. How the hell did it get stuck down there? I mean,
it must have flew in there. So it must have been in the house. I mean, they said it could live in your house for years and you wouldn't know. I mean, God knows. That thing could have been there forever. Could have been in the chateau while you were sleeping. Could have been
staring at me. Oh, my God, it could have been looking at me while I was sleeping or passed out. Maybe could have bit Rotella after his fucking bachelor party.
Might have. So it was pretty funny because my uncle rode up on his motorcycle. So it was like he was a real Batman. He fucking comes flying in, eradicates the bat, and then flies off. So.
Oh, Jesus. That's a good story.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I wanted to share that with you.
Poor Michelle. And I like Michelle. She's a good girl. I feel bad. She lives with who? What does she live with? Zoolander? That's what it sounds like.
It's an interesting scenario. So. All right, Scott, I told you I had a surprise, so hang tight and please remain silent.
Okay.
The anticipation's building.
To do worse than Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter.
Time to play the game.
Josh Richter.
Well, I'm sorry, Dad.
Josh Richter. To do worse than Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter.
Place to be nation. Scott Criscillo.
My collarbone is killing me. Don't do that to me. Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be killing you a lot more. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi, Justin, by the way.
Hey, and, Josh.
Hi, Nation. What's going on? I swear I'm not here to talk about The Office or social media or anything related to that. But I'm just here today because I got a bone to pick, or a couple bones, actually. But to do worse than Josh Richter. What does that even mean, Scott?
Well, look, I mean, you did the best you could on that, but you couldn't even get the pipe. You got the Piper question right, but I mean, you had questions in your wheelhouse, that little 3-year stretch that you know your stuff, and you just couldn't get it. You couldn't do it, man. You couldn't,
Scott,
do it.
If we were going on a scale, I would be batting 1,000, because for me to even get 2 right. is actually better than D'Amato getting. How many did D'Amato end up with, by the way?
Zero. A big fat zero.
Zero. Okay, and I believe that was the time that. So he did do worse than Josh Richter. By a lot.
Who else did worse than Josh Richter? The great Andy Flanagan did worse than Josh Richter, too. So
I understand that. But why after that was it not said to do worse than D'Amato? Or Andy Flanagan.
And well,
here's
I did.
Why. And here's why. No, Scott, you're going to listen. All right, buddy? You're going to listen.
Okay.
Here's why. I think this is a systematic, plan on your part to just tear me down every chance you can. It started off with the reviews, right? Reviews. I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't do anything. I mean, if I'm the Red Rooster clucking around, it doesn't matter. All right. It doesn't matter because my hair is not red. It's not the right type of spike. Nothing I could do could satisfy. And here I am. I come into this tournament. Okay. Clearly, every single person in the tournament, and I get 2 right off the bat. Well, almost right off the bat, but it doesn't matter because I get 2 right, and here I am, actually in the lead. And instead of getting praise from someone like you, Scott, I thought that we had started.
Hey, Josh,
to really
I just want to ask you to try
and rapport of these years.
Say Josh, what? Can you hear me? Try and say in one spot because you're going in and out, and I want to make sure we get all this tremendous vitriol clearly.
It's tough because I'm pacing.
Okay,
I'm pacing.
I understand. I understand you're angry. I know. Go ahead.
I'm that angry.
Okay.
But so instead of getting the praise, what do I get? I get to do worse than Josh Richter. Not wow. I'm amazed that Josh got 2 right. Getting any right should have been amazing. But instead I get 2 do worse. But it's okay, Scott. It's okay. Because we all know what happened a few weeks after that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all know what happened with the referee, yep. Rich.
Yes. Yep.
And I just want you to know that was me, buddy. That was me.
Oh, my God.
No, you laugh now, right? You laugh now, but... But what's going to happen when Referee Rich comes back for you?
Well, first off, before you say anything else, I just want to tell you, number one, that all I said that weekend previous was I was so upset that the one guy I was not going to see at beloved St. Mary's was you. And I said it over and over and over
again.
Sounds
like a backtrack.
That you were the one guy that I was going to miss. Number two, as much as I did kind of slam your Piper performances, we haven't gotten to my what I think is one of my favorite individual performances, and that was you in your big comeback in the mid-40s.
And you never will. You never will. It's because you don't want to give him credit. It's because you don't want to give him credit. All you do is talk. That's all you do.
The guy that I'm supposed to write, you want me to write him alone? I'll write him alone then, because the guy
you've been saying that for a year and a half.
He falls asleep. Well, so forget it. So it'll just be me then. You want it to just be me? Fine. It'll just be me. Thirdly, I've said all along that, Josh, you were put on an incredible amount of expectations. They gave you a fucking press conference, and everything was all hunky-dory. You were like the Jesus God of the show, and you didn't even get a chance to, like, get your feet wet. You were the savior. So if anything, you should be pissed off at him and Jim. Not me. Them. They put you on an unbelievable pedestal to save the show from God only knows what. And the expectations just weren't there. It was a different show. It was different than what you used to do. It's a shame.
You put a pussy on a pedestal. That's what you're doing.
It's your fault. Yours and Jim's. No one else's.
That's Jim's fault. What the hell did he do?
Here's what I know. Since then, since all of that happened, okay, him and Jim, I haven't heard them say, even when we're sitting there watching those things, like, they never talk about how bad it is now, all right? They never talk about that. It seems like you, Scott, have an axe to grind with me, and we're gonna get to the bottom of this. We're gonna get to the, maybe not right now.
It may happen this Saturday,
but it's gonna happen. Yes. Oh, it could happen Saturday. We'll see. But that's
all, right.
All I got to say about this. Okay, to do worse than Josh Richter.
Well, I think this entire thing is a fabrication of my co-host. I think he's stirring
the pot. I
didn't
do anything. Yeah, no. Josh Richter came to me. He came to me. He wanted to air his grievances. Festivus style.
I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to say nothing. I'm the one with the broken bone, not you. So, you know what? Karma got to me. If you're all fucking happy, karma got me. All right? Fine. That's it. Karma got me. And you know what, Josh? I'm going to give you a lot of credit because you weigh less than Referee Rich. So if you fell on me, unless you, you know, really fell on me, I probably would have gotten injured, but not nearly as bad as when Referee Rich landed on me. So actually, to be honest, I'm giving you credit for being in good shape. I would have preferred if you landed on me.
Well, that's why I picked Referee Rich to do it, because I knew I couldn't be there.
If you pick somebody who's got some,
He picked the master of the heavy artillery to unload on you. That was the deal. So.
All right. So if you're all fucking happy, I have a broken bone, okay? And I misspoke in a trivia contest. And in the end, maybe I should have said, wow, to do worse than Josh, who hadn't watched anything in 15 years, was pretty impressive. But you know what? If that's how you feel, then that's how you feel. But I can go to sleep at night fine with my critiques of those episodes. If that still bothers you, I'm sorry, man.
Well, that's great for you, because I haven't slept since.
Josh, I think my PIC should take some responsibility for putting you on such a high pedestal.
Classic Scott. But you think just because you're done with something and you're over it, you think everyone else has to be. That's just not how it is.
What do you want to do? Come here and break the other one? Come on. I'll open the fucking door. Break the other one.
It's coming.
Let's go.
I'm sorry, I don't go in the state of Connecticut, buddy. I don't go to Connecticut ever.
Well, you may be on
but
Saturday.
But hopefully I'll see you this Saturday. We'll figure this out, all right? All right? That's it.
Fine. Whatever.
Richard out.
To do worse than Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter.
Time to play the game.
Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Worse than Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter. Josh Richter. That's what she said. To do worse than.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
That's what she said. To do worse than. To do worse than. To do worse than. To do worse than.
Time to play the game.
That's what she said. To do worse than.
Time to play the game.
To do worse than. That's what she said. To do worse than. To do worse than.
Time to play the game.
That's what she said. To do worse than.
Time to play the game!
Well, I'm sorry, Dad. Well, I'm sorry, Dad.
That's what she said. To do worse than...
Time to play the game!
That's what she said. To do worse than...
Time to play the game!
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad.
To do worse than...
Time to play the game!
That's what she said. To do worse than...
Time to play the game!
Well, I'm sorry, Dad. Well, I'm sorry, Dad.
You could do worse than Josh Richard. Josh Richard. Josh Richard. Josh Richard. That's what she said. To do worse than...
Time to play the game! Time to play the game!
Well, I'm sorry, Dad. Well, I'm sorry, Dad.
Josh Richard, Josh Richard, Josh Richard, Josh Richard.
All right, Nation, we are back, and I hope you enjoyed that brouhaha that just ensued and everything else. Hopefully Scott's calmed down. This song is my favorite, so we're going to use this for the rest of the tournament. I don't care about any other of the songs. So, Scott, you ready to get back in some trivia? I don't really even remember how this goes, honestly. It's been so long.
I know. It seems like it's been forever, but we are finally in the quarterfinals, mm-hmm. and we have our first two quarterfinal participants. Mm-hmm. I'll introduce them this time because I want to let them know who they defeated.
Okay.
Up first.
That's good because I don't know.
The gentleman that defeated Jordan Duncan. And a guy that did worse than Josh Richter, Andy Flanagan, Jay Hinchy. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. You seem mentally prepared, focused. Another round here. Well, you got a tough guy. Oh my God! Because up next is his opponent tonight.
To do worse than Josh Richter.
Yes, because this is the guy that beat Josh Richter and Mr. Crisafi in the first round. The pride and style of the West Coast, the great Grant Owens. Grant, welcome back.
Yes, I'm looking to cruise right through my competition right now. Here we go.
Oh, we'll see about that, Grant.
All right, yeah. The West Coast versus the Deep South. Love it. Love it. Giant hats versus Braves hats or whatever team you're for, Grant, the Angels or I don't know. Whatever.
Angels hat. Yep.
Okay. To let everyone know, same format, JR, as the first round. First guy to three wins moves on to the semifinals. We are going to, however, ramp up the level of difficulty. We will do one easy and two mediums to get to three. So, and also to switch things up a bit, in the first round, if you remember, we predetermined who would go in order, so someone was fortunate enough to be last. This time around, we're going to rotate. Each person will get a chance to answer second in each round, so... there'll be as fair as possible opportunity to win the game, to win the match. So, are we ready, Mr. Hinchy?
Ready.
Mr. Owens?
All set.
All right. JR, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Hinchy, you get to go first in our first round. Once again, pick a number between 1 and 310.
Okay. I'll start with 65.
Okay. Your question is, and again, you have the same time, 15 seconds.
Okay. Fire away.
Who won the Gold Rush tournament on Raw in 2005? You have 15 seconds.
Rated R Superstar, Edge.
Hey, I may have a winner!
That is correct. Edge did win the Gold Rush tournament in 2005, and of course he had that and Money in the Bank. Everything was going his way that year. So Mr. Hinchy gets the first point of the match. Okay, Grant, time for you to tie or attempt to tie. You now pick a number between 1 and 310.
Let's do 75.
Okay. Which tough enough trainer came under fire for assaulting a contestant with a barrage of stiff strikes in season 3? You have 15 seconds.
Steve Austin.
Damn!
It was incorrect. Hardcore Holly.
Yes.
Yep.
This is back. See, you might have been thinking a little too recently. Way back, the original.
Ah, yeah. I didn't see that.
Season 1, wasn't it?
It was actually season 3.
Season 3, okay.
Yes, okay. All right, but Grant, you're up now in this round. So now you're up next. Pick another number.
Oh, okay. Let's do 210.
Okay. Which sultry celebrity commentated the main event of WrestleMania 2 alongside Lord Alfred Hayes and Jesse the Body Ventura in Los Angeles?
I know this.
15 seconds.
Elvira.
Yes! Yes!
Okay, there we go. We are tied at 1. Jay, you can take the lead here. Pick a number between 1 and 318.
Okay, I'll go with 130.
Okay. The question is, who did Jean-Paul Levesque lose to at Starrcade 1994? You have 20 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the big leagues, kid.
Say Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Good God! Oh, no!
No.
It was,
you know, throwing a jab like that, Jay, is not going to get you any points with the host, with the co-host here, okay?
It was Das Wunderkind, Alex Veit.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I forgot.
We are
welcome to the mediums, my friend. Welcome to the mediums. It's no cakewalk anymore.
Yes. Nope. All right. Mr. Owens, you are up. Pick a number.
Let's see. 79.
Okay. What two men were fired by WCW for blading without permission on pay-per-view in early 1995? You have 20 seconds.
Oh, wow. let's see. Can't even think of two names. Sorry, can't think of any answer there.
It was Dustin Rhodes and the Blacktop Bully.
Yes. They had, that was the match at Uncensored 95 where they fought in the back of the flatbed truck and they bladed.
Oh, yeah. And terrible pay-per-view.
So thanks to that match, we ended up getting Goldust.
Yep. I'll have to order that from Jay.
Yes.
Enjoy your rest.
All right, Grant, you are up again, though, so you can get yourself back in this. Pick a number.
Okay, 85.
Okay. Okay. All right. Who was the final women's champion before the title went dormant in 1989? You have 20 seconds.
In the WWE?
WWE, yes. My apologies. WWE.
Sherry, Sensational Sherry.
Get fucking out!
Rock and Robin.
Rock and Robin.
Close, though. She beat Sherry.
She did beat Sherry, yes. Okay. Mr. Hinchy, you are up.
Yes, sir. Okay. About 78.
78. Okay. Who sang the Canadian National Anthem at WrestleMania 6? You have 20 seconds.
Robert Goulet.
Hey, I may have a winner!
All right. That's JR's favorite Canadian singer of all time. Next to, of course, Celine Dion. All right. Mr. Hinchy. Mr. Hinchy, you lead 2-1, which means if you get this question right, you are in position to win the match.
Okay.
Picking up.
54.
Okay. Three NASCAR drivers were guest hosts on Raw. Name one of them. You have 20 seconds.
Kyle Busch.
I don't know, Scott. You didn't send me the answer. I don't know. You expect me to know these things.
Well, I'm trying to catch up by doing the timer and the clock and everything else. So.
Hey, I may have a winner!
There you go.
Good job.
There you go. The correct answer is Kyle Busch. You also could have said Carl Edwards
or
Joey Logano. Right. All right. Grant Owens, this is your dilemma. You have to get 2 in a row correct to force overtime. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me set the timer up here. Give me a number.
Okay. 100.
Okay. Along with Davey Boy Smith and Jim Neidhart, name 2 other WWF wrestlers who quit the promotion and left for WCW in the weeks following Montreal. You have 20 seconds.
You didn't say Bret Hart. Bret Hart?
No, he did. He doesn't count.
Okay. Dustin Rhodes. And pass. I don't know.
The chop is on. The Cinderella has fallen. The glass shoe has shattered.
The yes man wins again.
To do That's worse right. than Grant Owens.
Chipper Jones' career continues on. The correct answer is Brian Adams and Rick Rude.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So
hey, I got one right.
It was a spirited battle. You were an underdog.
To do better than Andy Flanagan.
Yes.
It doesn't happen. JR's not going to tape that part. Anyway, Jay Hinchy, congratulations. You have moved on to the semifinals.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, boys. So, we'll be in touch. It'll probably be a little bit because we're going to get these other three matchups in somehow. I don't know when this is going to all happen, but maybe a couple weeks. Grant, thank you so much, as always, for playing.
You're the best, Grant.
You're really a long-time close personal friend.
I was trying to listen to the WrestleMania, WrestleMania today and the SummerSlam, so... Try my best, guys.
You do well. Maybe next year.
All right, Grant.
You have a year to study.
Jay, you're a good guy, Jay, so congrats. Hope you make it to the finals.
Oh, thank you, Grant.
All right, Grant. Give Carla a high five and a hug for us, will you?
Oh, yeah, this Sunday we'll be at SummerSlam.
That's
so
right. You better
there.
Send us some pictures. The glam squad over there.
Of course. Yeah.
If you want me on too,
let me know. Cool. Talk to you later.
All right, Grant. Take care, bud.
Peace out.
Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Hinchy, thank you so much for joining us as well. We hope you had a good time. We'll have you back.
I did. Thank you, guys.
All right. Have a good night, bud.
All right,
thanks,
man.
See ya.
All right. And we can actually tell all of you, because we have the brackets officially set up, Jay Hinchy will face the winner. How about this for a matchup, JR? He takes on the winner of Jason Greenhouse and Dennis Nunez.
Yeah, battle. These next three are really going to be good. I mean, Grant was a true underdog, and he'll admit as much. So these next three, though, are going to be quite the battles. We've got Hinchy and Cornette. It's going to be a mammoth showdown. And,
Nichols and Cornette.
Nichols and Cornette.
And then, of course, the battle across the pond, Dave Hall and Capo.
Yeah, so a lot of three good matchups still to come. So, again, we'll keep you posted on when they're going to come. So we hope you enjoyed this headlines episode. We talked some SummerSlam. We talked some Red Sox. Talked some Richer. We had a lot going on. A lot of angst. Yes. We told you there'd be a lot of piss and vinegar tonight. So.
Yes, there was. More than I thought.
Talked about bats. It was quite the true cornucopia tonight, Scott.
Yes, it was. It's good. It's the first time. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We had some good news bits and everything. Next week, we have another jam-packed week.
Yes, no vault next week. We're going to do a summer throwback, or I guess as we edge towards the fall, just a throwback. We're going to review the Raw from the night after Revenge of the Taker.
Yes.
Of course, building into Cold Day in Hell. So that's, I forget the day was that, April 21st?
April 21st.
Okay, yep. April 21st, 97. Raw, of course, has the infamous street fight between Steve Austin and Bret Hart. So we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to delve back into some more 97 goodness. And then Thursday night is our big interview with Bruno Lauer, Harvey Whippleman. I put up a thread on the PTV message board asking for questions, so please go there and post your question, and we'll read them on air with good old Dr. Harvey. So that is next week's schedule, and then we'll be back the week after with Cold Day in Hell. So for Scotty C, I am Justin R. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, PTV Nation, and take care, as always.
Bring it on, Richer.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Everybody wants to pump with the British Bulldog.
Yeah, well, the hitman bends, but the hitman does not break. Yeah. Wham, jam, thank you, ma'am. It's the Macho. Yeah. The Undertaker says that.
The good.